It's been on my mind lately. And it's a weird one.
Something.
But we think of it as normal. It's mainly at like sporting events and stuff.
Okay.
The pee trough.
The pee trough.
Yeah. I don't know if the female listeners will know what it is, but guys know what it is. It's that giant like long tub.
Yeah.
No dividers or anything. Everybody just.
The trough. You just elbow to elbow with a friend.
Yeah. Some guy you don't even know. Doesn't even like the team you're there for.
You just gotta hope that you don't get next to the guy that big boy pees.
Yeah.
We know you.
The pants down guy. But even then, like, it's just, I don't know, it's a weird concept. And I thought about it the other day because.
It's a social thing, though, too. Like, it's crazy because, like, I feel like as men. Like, if women had that kind of thing, it'd be a little bit more ridiculous. It wouldn't be as discreet, obviously. Yeah. But it's like, as men, it's like, you just don't care. I feel like
it's
not as big of an issue.
Yeah.
Certain places, I guess.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. It's like,
depends
it's
who
like
you
peeing
are.
With a buddy outside.
Yeah.
It's not peeing on the side of a barn.
It's just you and the boys, you know?
Yeah. Even if you don't know the boys.
Yeah, even if you don't know the boys.
Yeah, no, that was, I don't know, I just thought about it the other day, and I was like, the pee trough.
I remember that at Rocky Mountain Raceway.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain Raceway had one. I think Weber State. I don't know if Weber State still does, but I know I went to a.
They had one there. Yeah, I remember that.
They had a little pee trough.
Well, I'll just take the fries and I'll just throw them in there. This is where that nice golden crunch is going to come in. And there you go, almost a perfect looking fry. Check that out.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back.
Hey, welcome.
Hey, hello.
Hi.
This season has been delayed because of a number of things. Mainly just life.
None of which has been COVID.
Yeah,
which is
blessed. Irony. Yeah. Ironery.
Yeah.
So,
we're
everyone's staying dry out there.
Yeah.
Because we needed the water, you know.
We did. We did need it. Now, I'm not so sure.
Yeah. But it's, I don't know, it's what, April?
It's April snowing. And it was literally snowing outside.
Yeah, before we started recording. Yeah, so, just wanted to just hit on, life as of late.
Life as
of late. The main issue has been we went through like a spring thing where I swear everyone in our house got sick on a different week, but it wasn't like, oh, two of us are sick, let's take care of it. Like, no, it was literally like 1 week after another another. So it was hard to get out and record.
It's just a luck of the draw. You don't want to get anybody else sick, but you also don't want to bring it to your house. So we're kind of both like taking care of our families.
I don't
want to
come over and get you sick. That's not nice.
Yeah, that's not fun.
And then the other thing was the water. We've had to deal with slight water issues this year of the ground sort of melty ground sort. So currently we're at our house. We're redoing the basement. So I'm trying to squeeze a few episodes in. Maybe record a couple back to backs real quick, just so we can have a couple.
What do they call that? It's like a involuntary renovation.
Yeah.
It's like surprise renovation. Hey, guess what? You're doing your basement.
Yeah. This just got moved up on the list. Yeah. So bear with us. We're going to try to get some episodes out and get this season rolling.
We've read your comments. We feel bad. So yes. It's like, don't think that we're just like, whatever. Like, yeah, no.
We haven't given up yet.
No, not yet. We've just been at a standstill for a minute. It was a hiatus, and then it turned into a...
Hiatus?
And then a hiatus.
Aw. Yes.
But we're trying to get back into the swing of things. The weather's coming back and hopefully warming up after these next few snowstorms that we have, you know?
Yeah, we'll probably have a couple more, you know? have you heard about, like, all the wildlife coming down from the mountains because all the snow up there? Like, they're finding, like, cougars and stuff. And they had the other day in the Ogden Canyon, they had a moose that got trapped. It was coming down the hill, and it got down to the river. And realized it couldn't get back up the hill because the slope and like the loose gravel.
Yeah.
So there was like it wasn't a mama. It was just a female moose that was stuck between the river and like a hard place.
Well, what was it?
So they had to airlift her out.
What was it? They were moving a bunch of elk across the highway. I saw a video.
Oh yeah,
of that.
They had like the herd, and then it happened in the wintertime.
They moved it. Didn't they move them up, and then like they ended up having to move them back down?
Yeah,
or something like that.
They came back
like,
down or something like that.
That's so weird.
Wildlife,
bro.
Yeah.
They were here before us.
They're over it too. They're like, okay, this is.
Yeah, that'd be wild to see like a cougar down here.
It's enough slices.
It's enough slices.
But yeah.
Wow. Yeah, this weather, man, I'm over it. Seasonal depression is a thing, especially when you have a long season like this.
Oh yeah.
I just want to get outside.
I just hope it doesn't ramp up and just 90 degrees and all that comes down at once.
Yeah.
Because the Ogden River is a little bit high.
I guess this is kind of like a slow pace for it to come down. It cools off, so it's like not flooding us. It's going to eventually, but it's like, as long as it comes down in manageable portions,
yeah,
is what we're wanting.
Yeah, so.
Because I don't want my boy to flood. I'm not going to lie to you. I would not want that.
No.
No.
Not at all.
I mean, basement pool would be kind of weird, but.
It'd be cool if it was intentional.
Yeah. Start putting that lining in your.
Just put a liner in there and just let it fill up.
Let it fill up. God. Anyway.
So what are your summer projects?
Summer projects. I don't know, man. Once the weather clears up, there's a lot of stuff I want to do outside. I mean, just kind of depends, like, on funds.
Yeah.
We've got a planned trip coming up in July, so we got to kind of prep for that. But I don't know. Like, maybe I'd like to kind of get stuff done in the front yard. It's just money-wise.
Yeah. Like, I went down... It's something that I've been wanting to look at for a while, but I always think about it when I'm not able to be on my phone, whether I'm at work or whatever. But I remembered to look it up last night.
Okay.
And it was, I looked up, is inflation finally going down? Because...
You Googled it straight up?
Yeah.
I like that.
Because shit's expensive, man.
It is, man.
Like the barbecue people.
Mm.
Like I was telling you the other day at work, I look at these posts that these people do. And they're like, oh, I got a brisket for like $1.30 a pound at Costco or whatever. And they buy this huge hunk of meat for...
Yeah, like, are they lying or...
No, well, they're showing the picture. Well,
that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like,
yeah, geez. I'm like, why is it a Utah-specific thing? Is inflation not that bad in other states now? And it's just a Utah thing? Because we go to the store and everything's expensive.
Well, the internet machine tells me inflation is everywhere, but...
Yeah. And that's why I'm like,
but it's weird seeing
is it
that,
dropping? Yeah. And according to the interwebs... It is on the downhill finally.
Are we tapered?
Dude, it's been rough, man. It sucks when you're like, I want to do this, but I can't afford that right now. Or
it really does.
I want to go buy this, but that's paying like $200 over for this or whatever the case may be. Like, I feel bad for you guys if you're looking at buying a house right now.
Yeah.
Or if you're looking at buying a new vehicle.
If you're in the market right now, I am sorry because it is rough. Or if you're trying to get... into a house or something like that, like, or even paying rent right now sucks.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah.
Like
I look at these things and I'm like, you're paying a house payment.
Basically,
rent.
Yeah.
And you're not even getting like the full house, you're getting like the bottom half. And I feel bad. And it makes me appreciate when we got our
house. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, 100%. Because I've seen it and it's a lot worse for some people that are even just renting like a one bedroom, one bath.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're seeing like California prices in Utah. And it's rough.
Yeah, I don't... And, like, there's people buying them at these prices.
Yeah, there's people, like, asking for these prices, and I'm just like, geez, like, that's...
Nuts. And everybody's like, well, I got to get a house. There's, like, none on the market.
Well, you see some of these houses that people post, and they're, like, really, like, simple houses that are, like... They should be, like, maybe, like, $200,000, whatever.
Two bedroom, one bath.
Yeah, and they're up to, like, $750,000 for these houses, dude.
Yeah.
It is stupid. It's basically a seller's market right now, so you can't really, like, be the one that's looking to buy because you're going to get...
There's very few people that are going to benefit from it, like regular people that aren't into like house flipping and stuff.
Like
there's
the people right now that are going to benefit are the ones that are like coming together and they both have two houses and it's like, sell one of the houses. It's like, yeah, those are the people that lucked out, but it's like the young people are the ones that are in for
the
it
youngins.
Hopefully, once the inflation goes down, it'll be better. But anybody that's in the market right now.
Oh, and then the other thing, like the new F-150 came out, and I'm seeing them everywhere, and I'm like, how are you buying a $75,000 half ton? Like, it's got to be like business write-offs.
Well, it's like how many people like are buying these trucks? Like, they're buying them still. Like, even personal.
They're selling
trucks,
like hotcakes. They can't keep them on the lot. I'm like, How are you able to, like, I mean, maybe we don't make as much as we should.
Maybe we are still poor.
Yeah. But, like, I look at these things, I'm like, how can you
afford? I couldn't justify making those kinds of payments on a vehicle.
Yeah, even if I was loaded, I don't know if I could pay a $1,200
car. I think I just feel dumb doing it. Unless it's for, like, business. Like you said, like, if it's for a business write-off, it's like, yeah, I'm using this truck to tow, like, a trailer for, like, my business. I use it every once
business.
In a while.
Yeah.
It's a business truck.
Yeah. But, that makes sense, but like some of these people.
But like some of these people are just like, they're going and working with us. Yeah, it's like you're parking these trucks that are like $60,000 in this parking lot with me, and I'm like, fair enough.
Yeah. And like I think about it because like It's wild because I bought my truck in.
Bro, we're just poor. Let's just call it. Yeah. Let's just call it.
We're just poor people. I bought my truck in what, 2018, something like that.
Yeah.
I paid 20 for it.
And it's a
2012.
Yeah.
So it was like 5 years old.
Yeah. That's a decent price.
Yeah, I paid about 20 grand for it.
What's that same truck worth right now?
I could sell my truck for probably like 23, and I've put almost 50,000 miles on it since.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it held
its value. I'm creeping up on 200,000 miles on my truck, and I could get 23 for it. That is just bonkers.
Yeah. Huh.
And it's not a diesel. So those miles.
But like, yeah, but you look at the diesels in like the same style as yours, and they're going for like 60 grand.
With 300,000.
Yeah, dude. But I mean, I've heard and I understood that like diesel mileage doesn't really.
It's not the same.
It's not the same as like a car mileage. Like a car with 300,000 miles or like a truck with 300,000 miles, it's a gasser. That's steep.
Yeah. but at the same time, that mileage, okay for the motor, transmission, whatever, because mm-hmm. they're built for that.
Yeah.
Those ball joints are still just like regular ball joints.
Right, you look at
those wheel bearings are still regular wheel bearings.
Look at some of those Dodge ball joints. Spices.
Yeah, they're hanging on with hopes and dreams.
And if you own a Dodge, I'm sorry that I said that. But
doing the dirt. Mopar,
no car,
let's
be honest with ourselves.
Yeah, and so it's, I don't know, I could not fathom a $1,200 car payment.
I wouldn't want to make it. I feel like, like we said, it's the people that are doing that kind of thing are people that have, you know, okay, either you worked your ass off to like get to this point where you're making that kind of money and you can justify that to yourself and to your bills, or you're a younger person that you don't have a house payment, you don't have any other stuff, and it's
yeah,
like
if I didn't have a house payment, things would be different.
Oh yeah, if I didn't have a house payment, whoo, shoot,
oh,
buddy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Dude.
But I much rather have a house. Like, I much rather have a house.
Yeah.
I think like it's where my stuff is.
Yeah, it's where I put my things. That's where I do my sleeping.
And if you do have a house payment or a vehicle payment that's that expensive that and you can do it, that's cool.
Good for you.
Good for you. I'm good jealous. For you. Yeah. Pay my stuff off. Do something for me.
Yeah, do me a solid.
Yeah.
But it's just yeah, and I know it's even though the internet said the inflation's going down, I know it's not 100% reflective on the economy.
No.
Because I see on, you know, you're from Ogden, people asking for money all the time. And I'm like,
just calling them out.
I get that. Like sometimes people need help and they're in a bad situation. And like,
I get it.
There's people that have genuinely.
And there's also in retrospect, cause like I say this all the time, but it's like, there's also people that don't have family living here or that won't help them. Like, so I get that you're struggling, but it's like, we're all struggling, bro. Like I'm poor too. Like I can't justify giving you $100 when I barely got $100 for me.
Yeah, when I'm like, can I afford a full tank of gas this week?
Yeah, can I do that? Can I do that and feel good about myself?
Yeah, and then there's like the other thing, like the food situation. Sometimes I feel like it's cheaper to go out and eat than it is to grocery shop. And then other times I go out to eat, I'm like, how the hell is this
well, you've seen people that have been doing like the food prepping with like Chipotle or something like that. They buy a bunch of it and they just like prep their meals for the week.
Yeah.
And it's cheaper than going and getting groceries.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, that makes sense, but at the same time, like all of a sudden I go to Chick-fil-A and I'm spending like.
Well, the thing for you is though that you're not just buying yourself a sandwich.
Yeah, well, I know, but I'm saying like there's people that have 2, 3, 4 kids or whatever, and they're still going out to eat, and I'm like,
yeah, Jess. Yeah, that's rough.
Because, like, I've tried to explain to Jayla, I'm like, we can go out and get McDonald's or whatever, but that's, like, $25, $35 mm-hmm. for just, like.
Because it's not like I'm just taking you to go get something to eat.
It's yeah. Like, it's you're, like,
at that point, you got to think
or about it. Or, like, you're pushing 35 or whatever.
Yeah.
You can go there, spend $35. Or, like, that $35, that's easily, like, for example, a pork shoulder and all the stuff that goes along with pulled pork, and that. You can have pork enchiladas the next day, like
pulled
pork sandwiches. Yeah. That feeds you for a couple days.
Yeah.
And you're full.
Yeah, but even then, though, like, even, like, nowadays, like, groceries to, like, make something or at some point it's more expensive, too. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It just depends, like, I don't know.
And I'm just like, I get that there's people that live in places that are harder to live.
Yeah.
Like there's people that are genuinely
struggling.
Table, and that's I hate that they're in that situation, but at the same time, like.
But I'm gonna tell you this: if you're asking me for money, and on your profile picture I see a brand new set of nails,
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for you.
Yeah, and
like if you can afford it and you're choosing not to spend your money wisely, that's kind of like I don't feel bad. Like if you have three kids and you're like, we can't afford to do this and that, and it's like, but you're driving around in a newer car.
Yeah.
Or like people that get themselves into situations like that, like they have this car and they can't make the payment like 2 months after, and now they're gonna get repoed and they're like, I just need some help till I get my paycheck for next month. I get that, but it's like hindsight, dude. Like, you know you can't afford that payment.
Yeah, why are you getting that car? Why? Well, I needed a car. You know what? There is plenty of used cars that are cheap. It sucks because not everyone's mechanically inclined.
It's not. It does, but it's like you just need to talk to people. Get to know somebody that'll help you like fix it. Like, yes, you can't always just do everything on your own. Agreed. And that's where that comes in. Like you do need some help to an extent, but it's like asking people for money is like we're all struggling. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah. And so it's shitty because I just like I feel bad for these people because I look at them like, not gonna pick an actual example off my phone, but I've seen posts like, I just need money till payday because blah blah blah, and I've fallen behind on my bills, and like I genuinely feel bad because like some people get the short end of the stick on stuff.
Yeah.
Their job laid them off because they had too many employees. Nothing against their work ethic. They just had too many employees. They were one of the newer ones, so they got let go.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they're like, well, I need money till payday because I started a new job. And like, I feel bad because like that person seems like genuine. But then like you say, you got another person's like, oh, I need to feed my kids, blah, blah, blah. But they just went and got their nails done.
The thing with all of it to me is that it's also like nobody wants to work an actual job anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like these people are, I'm looking for a job, you know, making, okay, like whatever minimum wage is right now is like, which is way below what it is for cost of living, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like they want jobs, but they don't want to work a hard job. Yeah. Like they're not the ones that want to go out there and like roof or frame or, you know,
yeah,
there's jobs everywhere. You just don't want to do them or you can't. Like if you can't do them, yeah, but there's jobs at like restaurants. Like you just gotta, if you're trying to survive, you got to do what you can based off your skills. If you don't know anything, go
find a job that doesn't require you to know.
Yes, anything. Like yeah. Go. I'm trying not to offend anybody that might be listening that's like their job or whatever. Like,
yeah,
but like certain jobs don't really require you to know a lot.
Yeah,
especially like you can go work at a grocery store and like move the carts or like bag or whatever. Like, not saying those jobs aren't hard, but it's like you got to start somewhere.
The skill required to run a cash register is not the same skill that is required to
like weld a frame on a, you know what I mean? Or
do a roof properly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's,
but also like the young people that don't want to do stuff like in pickup trades anymore, like you don't want to learn how to roof, but like you just don't want to work.
Yeah. You just deem it as too hard. So you just give up.
Yeah.
You don't want to, you don't know what it's like to actually experience being tired.
It's like maybe some people have to find their passion because like for me, it was like I like working on stuff or like what was kind of more introduced to me is like my family thing. Like they all worked on cars. So it's like, you know, you're around it all the time and you pick it up. And like when I was younger, I didn't really enjoy it because it was more of a job. But like on my off time, I like came to the community, you know, and like met everybody, met my friends and like kind of grew on me. And I was like, oh, I want to do this and that. Like you see other people's cars and like you learn to work on stuff. So it's like, you develop the trade based off what your passion was and like you wanted to learn it, you know? So like,
yeah.
I feel like people need to find that because like, if you don't have a skill, it's harder to like get to a certain level and make a certain amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, so you gotta at some point start off with, you don't know anything, but you have to have a passion to want to learn it and stay with it. Cause like, if you don't know how to do something on a car, it's like, or you break something, it's like, it's discouraging, but it's like, if you don't want to go back and keep trying, then you're not going to pick up that skill.
Yeah.
You're just going to be like, oh, I messed it up. I broke that. It's like, I don't want to do that anymore. Like discourages you.
Yeah.
But like having the passion for it, like, you know, to learn mechanic skills or like working with your hands, it's like you get there and then all of a sudden it helps you in your job and you have that skill that you can be like, hey, you know, I know how to work on stuff mechanically. Like it trade stuff is a lot harder to not retain, I guess. I don't know, like,
yeah,
it's, I don't know,
you pull one motor, it's one thing, you pull 10 of them, all of a sudden you got it down to,
you're a motor puller.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, if something, let's say something's broken at your house, like your garbage disposal goes out.
Yeah.
I've seen people like, hey, I need a Who knows a cheap plumber that can come fix my garbage disposal? You're at your house, your garbage disposal is broken. You are obviously able to get on the internet because you're getting on social media. Why don't you try
Googling it?
Yeah. The internet is your friend. YouTube and Google are your friend. It's the most useful thing,
bro.
And it really is like, yeah, like if you're struggling and you need to pay a plumber to come fix your garbage disposal, like I get it. Not everyone's going to be able to tackle that. But have you tried troubleshooting it yourself first?
Like with the availability of so much information at your fingertips right now, like it's, dude, like perfect example is JC. Like the sink clogged up and I was at work and I couldn't come home in time to fix it. And I told her, I'm like, just leave it all. When I get home, I'll do it. I got home and she was watching a YouTube video on how to do it and she did it herself. Disconnected the pipe and like, you know, she did it all. Like,
yeah.
So it's not impossible.
Yeah.
Like
Karina did that same thing. She's like, the pipe in the garbage disposal, like, it slipped out. And I'm like, what? And then she's like, hold on, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, and like... she
tackled it.
And it's that's what it takes. Apply. It's like, just look it up. And a lot of the times, dude, YouTube, I've found so many things of somebody dealing with the same exact thing. I'm like a dishwasher, like the... my garbage disposal, like, jammed up. And it has, like, a little hole in the bottom with an Allen wrench. And it's, like, cleared up.
And you can back and forth
and wiggle it loose. And it worked.
Unplug it,
and it's and some people end up paying like $150 for that, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, so to me, I'd rather, I'm the kind of person that just wants to do it myself. Like, even if I mess it up, if I get to that point, I'll pay.
Roofing and natural gas, only two things I want to touch.
Yeah, gas.
You know, I don't want it to leak because you can't smell it. I don't want it to leak and kill everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And roofing because one, I don't like heights, and two, water finds a way.
And then a close third is electricity.
Yeah,
you get when you get to a certain point.
I'm more comfortable with electricity than
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's more comfortable, but like. That's like the next one on the list to where it's like, I don't know if like there's certain points where you can't feel.
220, I might call somebody.
Well, that's what like in my garage, I ran the 220, but I had a buddy of mine help me and he, cause he did electrical work. Yeah. So he came over, but it's like that. Like I'm not sure, I will ask for help, but like a lot of the times you can look it up and it's a lot of it's so simple.
Yeah. And so it's like, if you're struggling,
there's no shame in asking for help, but
There's a little bit of like
there's more pride in doing it yourself.
Yeah, and that could save you $100, $200.
Yeah,
and so it's like I get that like some people I don't have time for this, I can't do this, I understand.
Yeah.
But
when you're struggling financially,
you got to put it on your shoulders.
You've got to take that cost and get rid of the labor by eating that labor yourself.
Yeah,
because that's what a lot of the times it's like people charge what they charge. You charge for your skills and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if you want to do it yourself, you can do it yourself. It's probably easy. It's easy a lot of the times. Like doing a starter, doing like a battery, like it doesn't take a rocket scientist, just a little bit of patience and knowledge.
Yeah.
But it's these people don't want to do it and they're ending up paying like $300-$400 for somebody to swap a battery out that you bought the battery already.
Yeah. You already spent $200 for a battery and then you pay another $400 to swap a battery out.
So what I'm telling you guys is ask for help, but also be interested enough to like, if you can't afford to pay somebody professionally to do it, look it up. Learn how to do it. Like it's
especially if you have a car that's not brand new. If your car is like 5 years old or older, somebody on the internet has already experienced your problem and did a whole write-up on it.
And if it's newer than that, then at that point you paid for the
car. If you need to, you're 2014 Civic isn't running right and you keep getting a code,
mm-hmm.
Go to AutoZone, they can do the code for free. Get home, Google up 2016 Honda Civic
this code P-O-141
or something.
Yeah.
Look up the code and then when the code it'll give you like what it could be,
like P-O-741 or something. But yeah,
okay, it's a,
but it'll tell you that much information. And even with just the code, you put the model of the car, the code on Google, and it'll pull up tons. Like the thing that people don't understand with vehicles is like there's so many models out there. The older the vehicle, the more problems that have ran through a consensus of like a couple thousand, if not more, cars.
Yeah.
So it's like your car was on a production line with a car that had the exact same motor behind it.
Yeah.
It's like this car's can have the same problem.
25 of them came off in the first hour of production that day.
Yeah, and it's like if it's a common thing that breaks, then more often than not, there's somebody that's already ran into it.
Yeah.
You're not the first one.
You're not the first. You won't be the last. And somebody had the know-how to put it on the internet. So let's say you get a code for something, and it's like, oh, it's this. It's your O2 sensor. Not only can you find the O2 sensor online and God, probably get it on Amazon.
Oh, that sounds like people give you the link straight up when they answer the question.
And then they'll they'll give you the link to it, and or they'll post like how to replace it.
Yeah, yeah.
And if all of a sudden you're sitting there and instead of spending $300 to get this diagnosis and then labor and parts on top of that.
The ones that I enjoy are the ones where I see people that are like, oh, I ran into this too. It's like they'll give you the part. They'll give you the tool that they used, and they'll show the pictures of how they put their hand through the, you know what I mean? Like
there's around the tube to get or to it's this
like,
bolt.
You loosen this bolt over here, drop this about a quarter inch to get your socket through. Like, there's people that have ran into these problems far more than you. Like, I look at some of the things that I used to run into working on cars, and like, there's people that are like, oh, you lift this up, you take this cover off, and underneath that bolt, you can look right at the bolt across, and that's the one you need to get. And it's like, people have done it. Like, it's cool. That's what I enjoy about fixing stuff and looking stuff up like that. It's like, if somebody hasn't ran into it, you're the first one. You figure it out, share the knowledge.
Yeah. Take some pictures.
Yeah.
And it's not even related to just cars. Oh, you got a valve on your sprinkler system going out? Oh, that's been covered.
Mm-hmm.
There's like four brands that make valves for sprinklers.
Well, that's half the stuff that I've learned with like my house, like the sprinklers and stuff like that. Like, I've done the research and I've ran into people that run into the same stuff and they're like, oh, it's the valve is leaking from here. Like, take this gasket off and trim it a quarter inch and like put a notch right here. Like, I've seen people do like little hacks, you know, that people have ran into the same thing I have.
Yeah.
On their houses and like certain ones. And like, you look up the model of the valve and it's like, it's crazy how much knowledge there really is out there for there being people that don't want to do it themselves.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing is, if you can't afford to do the repair for it, you shouldn't be going out and doing stuff in your spare time. You should be saving the money instead of going out to, like, I know it sucks.
This is us being your parents right now. Yeah. But also, I feel that I've learned this through trial and error, and I've learned through a lot of mistakes and like paying for it.
Yeah.
I can do things myself and it's a lot cheaper, especially after you see them fix it and it's like, oh, it was just clean off that little
diaphragm or something.
Or like in the heater, like the little sensor.
Yeah, the flame sensor.
Clean your flame sensor. How much do people charge to do that?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll explain that perfect example to you guys real quick. So a couple years ago, and it did do it over this winter too. The flame sensor on my furnace for my house went out. I didn't just know that off the top of my head. I Googled why like it would kick on and I could hear the fan, but it was never warm air. And it was like, I think it was like December when it happened.
And there's some of you that know this already, so we're spinning back information, you know, but like him learning this is.
But yeah. And so it was just blowing air. It wasn't blowing hot air. But it wasn't like ice cold. It was just like room temperature air. It was cycling the air that was around it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked it up and a couple people were like, oh, it's this little sensor. So I went down to my furnace. Opened up the door and I looked down and I saw the flame sensor look exactly like it. And they're like, sorry, I just got like two hiccups in a row. I went down there and I found the sensor and they're like, if it's doing this, it's probably this. And so I was like, okay. And I unhooked it. When you unhook the open the door for the furnace, it'll automatic. It's got a safety switch that it'll turn off so it doesn't kick on you. And there's also like a power switch off to the side if you want to do that too.
Yeah, yeah.
And open it up, and they said clean it off with a rag, but not like a scrubby pad, because a scrubby pad will create hot spots and stuff because you're now marring
the surface and causing low points in it and
like thin pieces
in a microscopic level.
Like, and it's, so use like steel wool on a flame sensor. So, and it just said, they just say like wipe it off and clean it, because sometimes you get like soot and stuff on it.
Mm-hmm. That causes an interference.
Back in, it was one plug with one wire that just unslips and a Phillips head screw. I did that and it kicked right back on. I was like, okay, so then after that, I looked at the model on there, and I Googled that model, and I found the sensor for, like, it's like $24 for one, or it was like $47 for, like, a pack of three or something. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I ordered some, and then I just swapped it out when it did it again. But the first time I encountered that, I didn't know anything about it. And I called a couple places, and one place, I'm not going to name names because I don't know if you work there, but one place was like, yeah, it'll be like a $80 diagnostic fee. We'll come out and figure out what it is and blah, 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 blah. Another place is like, we'll do like a 40. And then another place I called, it was a small, like, dad and his two sons place. Called them, and the guy's like, he's like, I'll do a diagnosis for you over the phone real quick. I'm like, okay. And he told me about that flame sensor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, try that first. If not, we'll set up an appointment and we'll come out and look at it. And it's like a $50 fee. I'm like, okay. So I did that and it worked. He's like, well, there you go. He's like, because if it's something small like that, I can charge you the $50, but I'm also having to load up my stuff.
Drive in
and drive over to your house. And he's like, sometimes it's easier to just
tell you,
try a quick little thing while I got you on the phone. And if it works, yay for you, yay for me. I don't have to travel. I don't have to take up a section of my time that could be used on a more expensive call to...
Just to charge you $50.
Just to charge me $50. And he's like, and that's how you get like somebody coming back. Just did this
honestly,
for free
it's,
because, yeah.
It's a quick fix and it'll lead you to where you needed to go.
Yeah, so and then you're like, I'm not going to pay $90 for this guy to come out and do the same thing I just did.
Yeah.
And so the next time I have a furnace issue, I'm going to call that place.
It's like if you need something replaced on it, you know that he does that kind of stuff. It's like,
and the fact that I've already had a good experience with him, I'll go back.
And that's the one thing that's like repeat business. On businesses, it's like it helps a lot more than just like charging somebody $1,500 for something that you could have done for cheaper. You know, like...
Yeah, you could troubleshoot it over the phone. And I don't know if it was his intent to get business back or if he was just like, I'm busy. Let me help this dude out real quick.
Sometimes if it's something simple like that, though, it doesn't cost you anything to just tell somebody. It's like, whatever. Like
Maybe he was like already at a call and he's waiting for his son to get back from Home Depot. So he's like, hey, I'll troubleshoot this real quick. If not, we'll come out after. Well, I don't know what the case is. But just that little bit.
Little led bit you in the right direction.
Yeah. And
that's sometimes like what people need. And so it's like, what I'm saying is, if you know something as well, if you know, have knowledge, don't be afraid to share it with people.
Yeah.
To a certain extent. Also do believe that like your knowledge is worth money. And if you choose to use it that way, then save your knowledge. But it's like being a good person to like somebody that needs a quick help.
Yeah, it's like especially if it's something that you like guaranteed, oh, it's going to be
something. No, I'm not giving,
I'll charge you.
Now I'm not giving you money.
Yeah.
But if it's something that I can help you with my knowledge, then I'll at least tell you. Like,
right.
Or same with like a car thing.
In a direction of like a business.
Or like you see somebody with a car problem and it's like something simple as far as like, oh, it's probably just a sensor on their car that you know. It's like, just check the sensor. Like it doesn't cost you anything to do that.
Yeah. And the internet can be toxic. People can be smart asses. If you have a car and you're not fluent with it, get on Facebook or something. Every car has like a weird little cult that follows it. Find the page that's dedicated to your car, like
LeSabre pages. There's people that love LeSabres.
Yeah. So let's say you have like a Dodge Durango. Get on a Dodge Durango page. Ask a question. Be like, hey, I'm getting this code for this. Anybody having experience? I'm new with this.
And the thing is that like, it might be a stupid question to somebody that's already dealt with this problem, and that you might get a little bit of hate from it, but.
We've through the
bullshit. Ask the stupid questions.
Yeah, because that's how you learn.
Yeah, if you don't ask a question, you're not going to get any answer, let alone a right one.
Yeah.
So you might as well like take the hit. If it's something that can save you potentially like $3,000 or something like that, or if it's something where somebody tells you, no, it's completely gone, then that at least you got a little bit better, more information than...
Yeah, and then there's shady businesses out there
that will charge you
an arm and a leg for something and be like, oh, it's your blower motor on your furnace that's out.
Yeah.
But it was a sensor, but they're going to charge you for the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you all of a sudden talk to somebody that actually knows about that stuff, they're like, no, it just sounds like a sensor. Always try it. My dad taught me this one thing. Always try the cheap shit first.
Yeah.
Because if it is cheap, you just saved yourself a bunch of money. If it's the more expensive item,
at least that cheap item is already,
bucks,
well, at least that cheap item is already replaced too. Like,
yeah,
so
process of elimination, you've taken care of that.
But you have to also be able to mitigate what you're like. Once you know the cost, like from like five, $10 to like $150 repair, it's like, yeah, do the small ones. It might get you by till you can get that part. Or, you know, like if it's a part that like you're going to have to replace because. So this part's going out because this part's bad, but you replace this part and it gets fixed for now. It's like $5-$10 at a time. If you don't want to replace a $150 part, it's like it'll get you by.
Just know that if you keep replacing that one part, it'll eventually add up to the thing.
To the thing, yeah.
Yeah, but if you spend like $10 here and it fixes it, you didn't spend $300 on this thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, just try troubleshooting. It's not hard. It's and that's the thing. You start getting good at troubleshooting little crap around your house, that opens the door for other jobs.
Yeah, like if you're interested,
the idea of how to figure out, it doesn't have to necessarily be a furnace or an electrical problem.
At that point, if you're interested in doing it and you like doing it, it's like it can lead you towards a career potentially. Yeah, for the younger people that are listening, like
even just a job opportunity. Let's say you're already working a job and you get good at let's say you're working at a restaurant. All of a sudden
you get really good at doing like drywall.
Yeah.
You know, you decide to start doing little jobs like that here and there. It's like,
hey, your cousin put a hole in their wall because they were drunk. Oh, I can fix it. Give me $50. I'll come fix it.
Freaking boom. Kyle's.
Yeah. And so, just learning to troubleshoot can lead to other things. It doesn't even necessarily have to be the thing you troubleshoot, but when you start recognizing like what problem can cause what thing, that can lead you down a path completely different.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you've been having to fix tables, or you're doing like tables for a side hustle, all of a sudden next thing you know you're getting really good at it. Then you can start staining cabinets.
Well, it's funny because that's why I like watching videos of people making things like woodworking or putting together frames and or little things around their house. Like I watch those videos all the time, dude, and I just I won't do it necessarily, not always, but like it's cool to have that knowledge in your head, like, oh, they did it this way, like that's interesting. Like gives you an idea to something you can do yourself. Like I don't know. I like watching people do stuff like crafting stuff as well.
You know,
like,
what I've kind of, it hasn't been a direct in front of me thing, but I noticed it yesterday. It's a video that'll always pop up under like suggested videos, and it keeps like reoccurring, but it's not something that, one, really interests me all that much.
No.
And two, it's not something I've like gone down the rabbit hole with. Have you ever watched people do lead working?
Lead working.
Where they take like sheets of metal and they make stuff out of actual lead.
Or I've seen a little bit of it. I can't say that I've dug into it. I'm more so like been watching more like leather work too.
Yeah, and either way, leather work. And it's weird because I would never in a million years pick that as a hobby.
Mm-mm.
But I feel like I know how to form a piece of metal now.
Yeah. Well, it's like it's a lot of patience and it's like stuff like that. But it's cool. I love watching stuff like that. Or I watch a lot of the ones where they build like the little ecosystems in like the glass, jars.
Loves watching those.
Yeah, dude. Like they put like the sand and they like put like seeds in it and they water it.
Pump in
and
there.
It grows and it has its own little atmosphere. It's crazy. But like stuff like that, like, you know,
they
people
throw a shrimp in there.
Somebody does that. Now I've always been like, because I was talking, Bonsai Trees. I've wanted to do one.
Yeah, I remember the bonsai thing.
Like, yeah, we're talking about. I think we like we're like the little redwoods.
Yeah,
they have actual like little bonsai redwoods that are.
It's
the
a
same
redwood
plant,
tree to
but
scale.
It's to scale, yeah. Dude. That's like I've wanted to do that. Like have a little piece in my backyard. So like, that's also like an interest, you know. Yeah. But it's like I don't have the skill and knowledge, but
I don't have the green thumb to grow a miniature redwood in Utah.
But
like,
it'd be cool as hell.
It would be.
Yeah.
Another one that, what was I going to go with this one?
Well, you said lead work.
Well, yeah, there was the lead work, and then I was going to say it was something else. Oh, because I'm doing that basement. In my downtime when I'm not working on the basement, I'm learning things off of that. I watch this dude, and he explains to you, like, this, if you're going to put up a wall, start at this location, whatever. And
he explains you,
and you learn the little tricks of the trade.
From like somebody that's done framework and like carpentry.
Or like I told you about that guy with the deck, how he did the rubber mat underneath it to help channel the water so the deck doesn't rot underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll learn things just by watching other people do them. And these people will put these things on YouTube because they have the channel that's specific for it.
Dude,
they get money in return from YouTube because people click the link.
Dude, and more often than not, they'll put their tools, all the tools that they have, and like links to buy them on like Amazon. Like,
or their store if it's like...
Because like I was watching the dude that did like a truck like mine and did all the framework and all that. And he like posted like the drill bits, the drills, like the... Like every single... Like his jack stands, his jacks, like every little piece to do the job. So you're pretty much...
Okay, I don't need to buy a welder for this because it's... this instead or like not specifically that example but like,
it's the same thing. Like there's people that do it for a living and they don't mind posting it online. So, and they get paid, like you said. So
yeah, they get a million views
every time you watch a video.
Yeah, every time, and then you get like, then you start like actually like following this channel, and like I said, I have a rough idea of how to properly do a deck, but that's not high on my list, and I've never.
That's not
done
something
a deck.
That you're gonna do per se, or like I've seen people build like bars in their backyards because I was kind of looking at that.
And like an outdoor kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like you watch them do it, like the concrete work, or like I saw a guy building a whole slab of concrete on a table, and like they had like the frame around it, and like they poured the concrete, and they had to like do like the rebar in it to like stabilize it, and like I'm not gonna do that. But it's cool as hell to watch. I don't know.
Like, I know that, you know, I kind of have an idea of what steps I need
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, you get the idea. That's fun.
So
it's enjoyable.
Yeah, so the whole thing of it's life is expensive out there. If you can take and do it yourself, you're going to save yourself money. Yeah. I'm not trying to take away from businesses because whatever.
No, 100% not. But if you can't afford to pay those businesses anyway, so you're not going
to
do it.
Yeah, like, if you can't afford to pay this guy, if you can't afford to pay like a plumber $250 to come out and fix your garbage disposal,
then you got to do it yourself.
You got to do it yourself. Yeah.
I think a lot more people are afraid to get their hands dirty nowadays than.
Because they think, oh, garbage disposal, oh, what tools do I need? Then they like get paranoid because they think they need like a huge $500 snake for the pipe and everything.
They feel like they need like all these tools to work on their car that are like. I need a whole Snap-on box to like do this.
I need
like,
a four-post
like,
lift.
You don't need any of that stuff. Or yeah, four-post lift to like pull my transmission. I'm sorry, but
no,
you don't.
Some jack stands and some.
Which, like you said, we're not taking business from anybody or trying to like keep you from going somewhere to do it yourself. But it's like if you can't afford it, like if I can afford to pay somebody to do something, I'd rather do it. If I can't, it's way out of my league.
Yeah.
But if I can't afford, I'm gonna try to figure it out so I don't have to spend that money. So.
Yeah, or if it's something like, I don't know, like just for the example, because of the transmission. If you don't know how to rebuild a transmission, but you think you're comfortable taking it out of the car, you can save yourself some labor costs right there by just bringing them the transmission.
And they'll rebuild it for you, and then you got to.
Then you just throw it back in.
The thing that scares a lot of people is like they get overwhelmed by how much they see, whether it be plumbing or something. Like they see like the pipe coming out and like going left, right, like these other ones connecting to it in a T, and it's like. It's overwhelming when you look at things like that. Same with a car, same with like baking a cake or something like that. You know, it's a lot of ingredients that you got to make them work together, and it's like read instructions, but it's not, as long as you take your time.
And focus on what you're needing to
do. You can take apart a toilet, take it out, re-gasket the bottom, and do it all yourself if you take your time.
And just.
Be patient.
Don't watch one video, watch like five or six so you can see like. The common things they do, and then like the weird obscure things.
Measure twice, cut once.
Yeah. So let's say you're going to take and replace the wax seal on the bottom of your toilet for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
You've never done it. You watch five videos, four of them do it the same way, one of them does it different. Maybe that guy does it different and it works out better, or maybe just seeing it done different gives you a better grasp. Like, no, he shouldn't have done that. Because like we'll watch. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
But like, you'll watch like a cooking show or something.
Yeah.
And I'm not a great cook.
I am not a cook, but you know what? I am a critic.
Yeah, I know when.
I like food.
You put that in the oven. It is not the right temperature for that. It's gonna be raw in the middle. Like, yeah.
Oh, you're gonna use fondant on that?
Yeah.
What a POS.
Don't
cheap.
Don't use fondant. Use mirror glaze. Dink. And so it's like,
but that's
if I were to be put into a kitchen right now and be like, make some mirror glaze, I don't know how to do it.
I'd be like, huh?
But I know it looks better in fondant.
Son of a bitch.
So, yeah.
I love watching shows and judging them, even though I don't know a damn thing about them.
Fucking.
Cooking shows, bro.
Cooking shows.
Baking shows.
Forge and Fire.
I can judge
I've
a blade.
Never swung.
I have never.
I've never.
Swang.
Swung. Like,
swunged.
A mallet up against like a. What are they called? The
anvil?
No, not. Well, I guess an anvil. I've never forged my own knife, but I know not to use whiteout on the canister unless I let it dry completely.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, like, that's the thing. You got to let it dry.
The metal, don't let rust get in there.
But if you only have an hour to make a blade, then it's kind of
Yeah. So,
but you can watching it. Like it's just you build up the knowledge of what they look for. You know what I mean? Just off of that. Honestly, a lot of what it is with cooking shows and like. That sort of thing with like Forge and Fire, it's like you watch them and you watch the judges and what they look for, so you learn. essentially, like, the whiteout thing. Like, they talk about it, and they're so adamant. So it's funny when you see people that are like, oh, I've been watching Forest and Fire since season one, and they still make the same mistakes.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, my God. They tell every single person.
That's day one, you dink.
Yeah. If you're going to use whiteout, it has to 100% dry. If not, it's not going to cure properly, or it's going to delam.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It's going to delam. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah. So...
Remember when How It's Made came out and everybody was all about that? Like, oh, yeah,
I'm still all about that, bro. I love those episodes. It's the
same thing. Watch competition shows of, like, barbecue. If you don't know how to barbecue, watch these guys barbecue. Watch these ladies fucking.
Well, that's why it always makes me laugh how much people are like, I don't know how to do it. I don't know where I got to learn that. Like, dude, they have shows on Netflix about barbecuing.
Yeah.
They have shows on Netflix about, like, hunting and how to prepare the. Like a deer, how to, like, dress a deer.
Yeah.
Like, they have, like, shows every... Like, you can watch this stuff on your phone while you're on break if you want to learn something.
Yeah.
It's just, it's more of...
Or if you're poor and can't go out, watch some stuff on the internet.
It's sad that it's more of the lack of wanting that disappoints
me. The laziness.
It really is.
Like, I'm not going to say I'm the most driven person in the world, but, like...
But I know a lot of useless stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah. God damn it. I do know a lot of useless stuff. You know what? One more thing before we go. One thing I've always wanted to get into... Not even get into, but just learn how to do. Being a butcher. Learning how a proper cut of meat is supposed to be and, like, the quality. Like, oh, don't get this one. This is a crap cut. This one's a good cut. Like, the little nuances of
being a butcher. So with that being said, if any of you out there are proficient in meat cutting for Sean... Maybe drop us a chat. Maybe we can talk about it.
Yeah, maybe we can figure something out. Or, you know, like, if you're really good at it and you learned from somewhere, share the link of where you learned it from. Like, oh, I watched this lady on YouTube just cut up this cow in, like,
2 hours. Or maybe we'll figure out how to get them on here.
Yeah. Yeah,
if you're down to come around and, you know,
you want to share some free knowledge?
Drop the knowledge. Yeah, like a butcher. Ooh.
A butcher, I don't know, like,
or somebody that, like, just a random, if anybody knows any random skills, you know, like a pilot, like, if you know anybody that's a pilot, it's a good friend of yours, they want to come, like, and BS, like, huh.
I assume how a non-car person looks at an engine bay is how I look at the cockpit of a plane.
But I'll tell you what, I've watched plenty of, like, flight simulator videos on YouTube.
I've watched train ones too.
Yeah.
I feel like I could drive just like that.
Yeah. I feel like if you came on here as a pilot or a train conductor, we can keep up to a certain extent.
Yeah, I feel like I have, like, vague enough knowledge to be like, oh, yeah, that General Electric, whatever,
that was locomotive crap. That was a real POS, wasn't it?
Yeah, but the model after that, they fix all the problems.
I feel like I could dumb my way around a conversation with a professional, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I could at least keep him entertained for a bit. But anyway.
All right.
With that being said.
Yeah.
I hope this episode wasn't too drowning out and just...
Yeah, I hope we weren't too monotonous. Stupid.
Yeah.
This was fun.
It was fun. That was a good
time.
This
is a really good episode to record. I like it.
So, we hope you're glad we're back. We're glad to be back. And let's keep this party rolling.
Yes.
Choo-choo.
Boop, boop. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.